You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Sports Radio Network.
Well, Fitzy, I've got to say, many things have taken me by surprise over my life. I had no idea, though, that the lack of baseball would send the country a flutter like it has this week. I mean, my God, geez. Get on the field, please.
I was just going to say, I knew each of us was going to have our comedic curveball, terrible joke as to why the protests are happening all across the country because, you know, when you become uncomfortable, that's, you know, comedy is tragedy over time. I was
going to
say, obviously, the people are demanding that they get more Laird and Fitzy. I mean, they're making their voices heard. The message is obvious and it's clear. Ken, first off, great to see you. That was scripted. You're welcome. Great to be back in the studio. So was that. Hello, Bridget. There goes Eamon. Cheers, guys. Nice job by Mike and Hat.
They did do a nice job.
They do. They always do. I think it's a great show.
I won't say always, but today,
by and large, they do
a great
job. Yeah. Listen, if by and large, they do a great job. I got to tell you, Mark is by and Andy's large.
Can we establish before you get to whatever you're going to say? We established in the hallway.
Yes.
The next Fitzy list is coming out at WEI.com. Mm-hmm. Worst protests.
Scott McLaughlin is currently right now, in accordance with Bradfo, top five protests of the past decade. We're going to run it by Tom Brady in the 3 o'clock hour. Ben Bolin is going to call in at 4:01 when we're off to see how it relates to Tom. See, people obviously don't like the Protect vitamin. Let's just get it out there. Boy, does this year suck.
This is one of the worst weeks in American history.
That's not a hot take.
Nope.
You're not overstepping your bounds. You aren't. I mean, right now, literally, it's not as if, like, you know, I don't get distracted. I don't need to look at you while we're doing 3 hours of radio. Usually over top of people here in the booth or in the studio, folks, there are a couple of monitors. Like, one right now is playing highlights of Super Bowl 36. That's a pleasant distraction on a commercial break. But right now, over your head, instead of watching sports reruns or, God forbid, live sports because 2020, there's footage of people burning buildings in the Midwest and pulling charred, tattered, and ruined clothes, items, just basically just millions and millions of dollars of damage with people standing around. Doesn't matter every race. You've got every creed, every color represented on both sides of the line. People pointing guns at people in the street, kids walking around. This feels like the end. This feels like the beginning to the end.
The end? I mean,
how does this not devolve? Look, there's an Office Depot. First of all, didn't even know Office Depot was still open. So there's your breaking news. Second, it's just destroyed. Yeah. I don't know. People wanted to loot so badly they wanted to go get, like, toner and, you know, inkjet printers. I mean, my God, what are we doing? What, we have lost. Ken, is this the general rage that people are displaying at the atrocity committed by Derek Chauvin and those three other Minneapolis police officers just now 8 days ago? Or is this the pent-up frustration with 2020, the pandemic, people's lives, the growing chasm between the 1% and the rest of America and the loss of the middle class and our foundation and fundamentals? What is this? In your estimation, what is this?
I think that's a good question. I think, like, in our little sports bubble, you could throw in the, would the return of sports help? Would the return of any slice of the economy have mitigated some of the damage that's going on now? But for the most part, my answer would be, we just had an unbelievably horrible couple of months with racist issues, including the Ahmaud Arbery killing, mm-hmm. and then
execution, really.
Yes. On a lesser level, the Central Park Karen, what's her name, Amy Cooper or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, you had blatant racism. And then, you know, now you have the murder of George Floyd. So in a particular short burst, which has, you know, put the exclamation point of 30 years of civil unrest and ugliness in the criminal justice system in America, it's just sort of rekindled everything. It's put the match back on top of it. And as far as, like, what to say, I mean, I would love to invite people to call today who were doing something to help. I don't want to be like the guy that just does the corporate version of, we can do better than this. You know what I mean? Like, right. I don't know what to say in these situations. I feel like we do need to say something. Staying silent, I agree, is the worst possible thing.
But what is the
constructive way to address this for, I don't want to say just white people, but in particular, you and I are privileged white guys.
I was just going to say, who better, like, oh, guys, we're going to finally get to the bottom of it today. We've got two 40-something-year-old Caucasian Metro West dads on sports radio.
Right.
Ken and Fitzy will figure it out.
By it, but,
of course we are.
Obviously, you know, less or so. When you and I are up late watching the coverage on television.
Right, you're as affected by it when you scroll through something in social media, when you're up late night watching the coverage. Now you've got another reason to shield your children from news media, television, newspapers. You don't want to bring the conversation up. If you're going to be having a little social distance gathering this afternoon or this evening, like, you have to make sure it's naturally what parents would want to talk about, but they don't want the kids overhearing it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this is the world these kids are growing up in. Now, is it going to be normalized and they're going to think that this is just par for the course and happens every couple weeks, months, or years in the United States? Or is this a point where we can finally come around and get everyone involved to do better and be better?
Yeah, I would say you're taking the pessimistic approach. Then when you think that what was your statement a minute ago?
We're done.
This could be the end.
Like, everyone wants to use the term du jour is always tipping point, right? A guy like Malcolm Gladwell always has his finger on the pulse of societal and psychological trends, and that's when his phrase "the tipping point" in that great book years ago became household. I feel like like all the other race riots, all the other civil unrest that's gone on from Ferguson to Trayvon Martin, Freddie Gray, up to this and beyond. It's been leading to something. And now when you add an accelerant like quarantine and financial disaster in this country,
right?
I don't know.
Unfortunately, the violence hurts the message that would be the positive message that could lead to progress here. I mean, Martin Luther King always said that, you know, hate cannot drive out hate. So you've got these violence. How many different cities across the country last? I mean, obviously Minneapolis, obviously Atlanta, Los Angeles. You lived in Brooklyn for a long time. That was.
I sent you a video. We don't have a show account between the two of us, but maybe if you have access to the Greg Hill one, you can tweet this out. An area, Fifth Avenue in downtown Brooklyn. Fifth Avenue, basically not in Manhattan, but Fifth Avenue in Brooklyn leads right to the Barclays Center at the corner of Flatbush and Atlantic Avenue. Mm-hmm. There was chaos. A protest just went south, and you had cops chasing protesters down the street, full force, top speed, just a cops versus protesters riot that just broke out in an area full of, like, restaurants and bars that I used to hang out in that is just, like, hipsterville and fully gentrified, and last night it was madness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, I would just love to open the phone lines at 617-779-7937. What do you make of this? What should people be doing? If you're doing something constructive, how about some advice on how people should handle this in terms of, you know, the reaction, the rioting, the looting, the violence end of it? We're seeing the ugly side of it now. What did Trump, he's mobilized the army. They're headed to Minneapolis. I saw the was the mayor of Minneapolis who said all the arrests were out of from those that were out of state, non-Minnesota residents.
Yeah.
So you've got this flood of people just coming into the said hotspots.
Yeah,
to get their voices heard.
I told you right before the show, I feel like these are, and not to say that this is something that happens with any sort of frequency in the country, but these feel like piggyback protests where people see that there's an inequality and folks have gotten angry and gathered en masse and they've chosen to be opportunistic about this, now writing in like, well, you know, we've got a cause where I've wanted to F some stuff up too. So now you've got WTO, Antifa, you've got anarchists, you've got white supremacists writing in like, why in the world do we see scenes in major American cities? One's like Minneapolis. That's the home of Minnesota Nice. Those are the nicest people in the world. Why do I see a line of white protesters in the face of African-American police officers?
Yeah.
The hell is that?
If you ask those people, would they say this is the only way to get change? I mean, is it their belief? I mean, obviously, people understand the outrage, the anger, the frustration. But then when it goes to the next level of violence, that's when you get the big divide. But
all right, everybody, Monday, we're all going to stay at home and not go to work. Ted, we have, we'll bring you up to speed after the protest, after the march.
Well, before we get to the phone lines, the sports angle of it. If sports were happening, if the NBA, the NHL, baseball were underway right now, would this provide an outlet for social discussion on some of these issues? Do you feel like that's sorely missed? There's a lot of athletes that are weighing in on this, obviously.
Right.
I mean, the NFL's out of season. We would have mini camps maybe right now. But a pretty powerful statement from Brian Flores, the Dolphins coach, yesterday. He brought up Kaepernick. There's a story on CNN about a suggestion that Kaepernick should be signed right now by the Minnesota Vikings. A serious case.
Wait. I didn't even finish reading it. It was...
Yes.
The Vikings should sign him?
The Vikings should sign him.
All right. As somebody who enjoys watching as someone who enjoys watching NFC North games, maybe a better arm than Kirk Cousins?
I mean, I still believe he's better than most backups in the league.
So do I.
But yes, so this column says, as a small but important step, the owners of the Vikings, Ziggy and Mark Wilf, can send a strong message by offering Colin Kaepernick a contract to play with the Vikings, bring him into camp, treat him like any of the other players, given a chance to play the game they love. It will not solve the problems of blacks and police violence, but it will recognize the problem that he powerfully raised and perhaps show that with courage, real progress can be made.
I full well appreciate what the writer's going for. It will come across as so, pardon the word, panderific.
Like the rules changes suggested for the hiring of black coaches.
Yes, it'll come across just like that. Like, maybe Jay-Z can be the one who honorarily offers him the contract, too. It just wouldn't work. Colin Kaepernick should be in the league. Colin Kaepernick could have a more powerful voice now, yes. Colin Kaepernick being signed by the Vikings, that's insane.
I mean, I don't think if baseball were happening right now, I'm not sure this would have any impact at all as to what's going on.
Mm-mm.
But if you had multiple gears turning, if you had all sports back as a diversion, as a sandbox distraction in the side, I don't know. Maybe
Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals in the NBA, veering towards the Stanley Cup could be dropping the puck tonight on Game 1 of the Finals.
Yep.
Would it be right around that time? Ken, there's just general unrest. Haven't you been able to, and I know like you live in the bubble of like from the producer's box back to the Brookline abode and out and about for just like your...
I get 20 minutes outside.
Minutes, and the occasional...
We're up to 25.
Really?
Days. Oh, yeah.
Wow. And with the nice weather coming.
We've loosened the restrictions, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What are you? You're already in home phase three? Good for you. phase three, breathe. That came across wrong. I feel like you can tell that there's been this awkward kinetic energy about people. I mean, listen to the way people call in to Greg's show, and they're pissed off about not being able to open up a restaurant beyond half capacity by the end of June, let's say, and they feel like their business is going under, and they don't want a handout from the government, and I don't want to have to wear a mask if the government tells me to, and no, I'm not going to do contact tracing, and now you're going to tell me that we've got racial inequality, and we've got cops killing people in the middle of the street in peaceful major American cities. I'm telling you, like the fuse gets down to a certain point. I don't know if there's any putting it out.
By the way, the Kaepernick article came from Joe Lockhart, who's an analyst there, but he of course was former President Bill Clinton's press secretary in the late '90s. So there's obviously a political spin there as well. And it's a CNN post, but you're right. It's
has Kaepernick said anything yet?
He did have a post. I'm not sure if it was a vocal or a written, but I'll pull that up. He did say, I believe, something. This was probably before last night.
Yeah. Now, of course, Thursday during the crossover on the Greg Hill show, Wiggy was in, and I was asking him. He was talking about sharing that video with his kids about learning how to prepare for life with police, like running the knee over your neck drill for kids so that they learn how to deal with this, which is just an absolute horror show to think that kids should have to watch that, let alone think that it's a possibility in their lives. And that meme, do you think anything has been shared more or been seen more all year than the one of, like, he kneeled because he kneeled? I mean, doesn't it just make sense now? Doesn't it all just make sense?
Yeah, and that's the whole Kaepernick issue was so divisive. Like, I could see both sides of it. My dad was a Vietnam vet and served two tours over there, and he was so angered by the anti-flag demonstrations, he wouldn't watch football. He was one of that crowd that legitimately turned the game off and couldn't watch anymore. But, you know, it's the other side of it is obvious, and we're seeing it again play out here with George Floyd this week, and a lot of athletes weighing in as well. But let's hit the phone lines. Carlos in Maine, first up here on Ken and Fitzy on a volatile day in America. Hi, Carlos.
Hey, guys. Thank you for getting me on the line. I think this issue is like multi-layered in a thousand ways, but let me answer your question. If sports were around, if it would be somewhat of a distraction of what's going on, it would definitely be distracting you from the actual issue at hand and things that are happening constantly on a constant basis. If you listen to the Greg Hill Show, you do hear a lot of restaurant owners and a lot of people, frustrated business owners, who are worried about not paying their bills. And this is the plight of the black man normally in America. If you constantly act if something's not going on or doesn't happen, which happens a lot here in Boston because a lot of athletes have come here and have said, you know, hey, listen, it's a little bit of a racist town, some of the things that I hear. And I love Boston to the deepest of my heart. At times it gets a little suspect in certain areas and certain places. You're like, whoa, would they have talked to me if I didn't look the way that I looked? Dismissing that all, normal Americans don't normally have $400 in their banking account to handle an emergency if it comes their way. Now, this is a national emergency, a worldwide emergency that's happened. And who do you think those actual Americans that they're talking about statistically that don't have enough money? Now, Tupac, in an interview on MTV, was saying, you know, how often do you have to say, hey, knock on the door, hey, hi, can I have some bologna? Can I get some food? I'll sing and dance for you until they start knocking the door and say, I'm kicking it in the door, waving my 4-4, asking, now you're going to have to listen to me because I'm bringing that plight to you and that fight. I don't think violence is ever the key, but if we look and listen to human psychology, we'll eventually get to get frustrated to the point. If we're bottled up inside in an apartment building where there's 200 people in the Macy's projects, and the majority of the people there are brown skin and dark skin, and then you start seeing this on TV, you're gonna be enraged.
Yep.
Of course.
Thank you, Carlos. And obviously the coronavirus angle of this, I mean, unfortunately, those are the people bearing the brunt nationally, more so, you know, people of color, blacks of coronavirus testing because they're living in dense areas of the country.
Correct.
Not as much in Massachusetts.
Not receiving the I got to tell you, though, Ken, the two hardest hit towns in Massachusetts, Chelsea and where my dad lives, mm-hmm. Brockton. And those are, Brockton has a lot of nursing homes. Brockton has a lot of tightly quartered residential areas. Chelsea obviously does, too. Not exactly affluent areas, if you will.
Yeah.
So the fact that the coronavirus has struck people that are impoverished, that has struck people that are piled on top of each other, now you add this.
That's what I'm saying. It's
the worst. It's a perfect storm is what it is. Yeah. It's like, that's how nor'easters form. Like, you've got tensions coming from different directions, different fronts and different pressures. They collide, and then you end up with these huge storms. So now you add, I'm losing my money. I'm afraid I might get sick. My family's at unease. I haven't seen my friends. I feel like I'm being subjugated in the first place. Now I feel like if I go out, I could commit a crime. If I look the wrong way, I might get pulled out of my car, or I could get leaned. I could get killed.
Yeah.
This is America, right?
Not socially distancing during these riots either. That's a problem. That's
great. Oh, and on top of it all, now we have to worry about the second wave is coming. So the protests.
Michael in Rhode Island's up next. Hi, Michael.
God. How you doing?
How are you, Michael? What's up, buddy?
I wanted to kind of make two points. The first point, I think you guys hit the nail on the head with the kinetic energy piece of just everyone needing some sort of outlet.
Yep.
And the second point being, in all of this social emergency, I think that people just feel like they're not being heard. And I think that is kind of directly from how government is handling this situation and the comments that are made. I think that people feel like they need to go to this level to be heard. And I don't think that they feel like our government is really taking this seriously.
Michael, let me ask you two quick questions. Are you married and or are you a parent?
No and no.
Okay. So I was going to say, that's funny you say that, like, people may be resulting, maybe, excuse me, violence may be the result of people not feeling their voices heard, or people are resorting to violence because they don't feel like their voice is being heard. As parent and husband, a lot of times I find that when my kids don't listen, I end up having to raise my voice. And if mm-hmm. my wife especially doesn't do that, I've never resorted to violence in my life, but like sometimes you end up like doing things where you like, you might slam something down on the countertop, or you might throw something, and then you immediately resent it, and you let your frustrations get the best of you. These aren't, so I can understand why you'd say that, then I can understand why people would be doing that. But these people aren't just, you know, throwing a pillow or slamming a mug down on the countertop, or they're not just like going, hey, listen to me. Like, they're burning stuff. They're breaking infrastructure. They're turning to chaos and complete anarchy. So there has to be another level, or like we were talking about earlier that you acknowledge, like this underlying angst that's come with everything that's 2020 that's causing these people to do this.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree. Yeah.
Well, stay safe, man.
Thanks, Michael. And by the way, you brought up Ferguson. When you were going to rank your riots of the decade earlier.
Is there a sponsor of that? By the way, Bridge, can you check on that? Do we have a sponsor for Rank Our Riots?
I believe there was a second. Was it the second wave where the major rioting started with the acquittal in the Michael Brown case? So, in other words, to flip it forward, if this cop who killed George Floyd is not found guilty, I mean, the second wave of that is going to be
Now they're in a position where, because Minneapolis took so, I mean, there's a million different ways you can look at this kid.
Yep.
And by the way, Amy Klobuchar, if you thought that you were going to be vetted for vice president, peace, because you took it easy on cops as a prosecutor in Minnesota. So that we'll be seeing that.
Think of that.
Yeah. She has a record of being historically lenient when dealing with internal affairs and police officers. So, yeah, this guy, 17 different times that people have protested or have like rang up charges on this guy or filed complaints. If they had just done this 5 days prior, Ken, guess what? Maybe we don't riot as much.
5 days prior, what do you mean?
If they didn't drag their feet, if they weren't like, Len, do you think, when should we get around to filing charges on this Chauvin guy?
Right.
Immediately. They should have been in cuffs that night.
Right. Very good point. Paul and Quincy next. Hi, Paul.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good afternoon. Sorry. How are you?
Pretty good.
Now, Paul, I've known you as a caller at WAAF and at WEI, and usually you've got you love the dad jokes, parodies, quick wit. If you can make a funny out of this, then I will certainly tip my cap, but I imagine that's not why you're calling.
Well, no, it's not, but okay. I was wondering if you told any bad jokes regarding social distancing during the rioting.
That was me.
Yeah, that was Ken.
I was just wondering, and please correct me if I'm way off here. I'm just wondering why these specific types of problems regarding race and the police seem to be prevalent in our country. Why you don't hear these type of extreme situations? I don't know what the African American population happens to be in, say, Canada. Why places like Canada? Why places like Europe, which had slavery thousands of years, and it seems to be people are more acceptable of mixed relationships regarding race. I'm just curious why these types of problems, and the only thing I can come up with is, you know, obviously, not to oversimplify things, slavery. I'm just wondering why this particular type of problem seems to be so reoccurring and so prevalent in the United States and not anywhere else in an open society.
That's it.
It's a fair question. I don't know Europe well enough to even comment on that. I mean, I think you said slavery. The obvious answer that jumps in my head is, okay, this is what the country was 300 years founded on. So
this is also
it's also a long-standing historical weave.
Yep. Canada's a capitalist society. It's a fair enterprise, open market. So I think people, a lot of times, maybe to Paul's point, the way that the very nature of our economy begets the financial inequality between people can cause some of these tensions as well. Like, where's mine? How come this is America. Everyone's supposed to be able to make their million here.
That's a good point.
I don't have any. Where's mine? And how come it so often seems like not only do I not have mine, but I'm serving the people that have theirs. You know, it didn't help in a week like this. That stat that came out earlier this week, Zuckerberg his net worth has gone up $34.1 billion during the pandemic.
Yeah, where's Bezos now?
Yeah.
God.
I mean, Amazon stock has soared through the roof. But the top 1% in America has seen their wealth increase by $500 billion.
Yeah, that's the tie into coronavirus and the economic fallout, because it's going to crap on the little guy as far as payroll goes more than anybody else. Big corporations are going to survive this. The bar down the street, D. Bellum, just closed.
They did?
Yep, they just announced that. There's famous place in New York. Like,
no, Deep Ellum Club. Yeah, oh, yeah. That's a great place.
Great spot, yeah. I mean, but these are the small businesses that are going to go under and lead to further unrest, and you're going to have the major conglomerations stick around.
And, first, let me just say, like, again, back to Paul's point. We have way more poor people. We have so many more people that are suffering, whether they're doing, I'm certainly not doing it willingly, but people that don't have an opportunity, that have comorbidities, that are broken, that are under life's thumb in this country, that this gives, obviously this is a chance for them to voice their frustrations. But let me ask you this, Ken, not to be glib or a smartass, but when's the last time somebody took a Bentley to a protest? Charter the yacht for Minneapolis, Davenport.
But that video you showed me from Brooklyn is from a posh area of Brooklyn.
It is.
Right?
It's from a nice area, but there's a lot of kids. There's a lot of, you know, younger people in their 20s and 30s who are just getting by, who probably right now are pissed off because they suspended mortgages but not rent payments in New York City. So people like my brother, who are in their 30s and living in Brooklyn, are going broke because they can't work, but they still have to pay their insane rents.
Right. Another layer of it. All right, more calls to get to on this front. I do want to bring up a sizzling story, a sizzling hot take from Fitzy. I don't think we're going to be able to get off this main topic too far today. But you did, in a week without many sports storylines, shake the waters with your hot take about the current Patriots roster and got a ton of reaction on it. So we'll weave that in a little bit. But I think people want to just talk about this. I mean, which is, we're here for it at 617-779-7937. Obviously, the major story in the country. Riots and violence across the nation and all in the aftermath of the George Floyd murder of the officer by the officer, Derek Chauvin. Let's get to what's trending now.
Don't miss a minute of your favorite WEEI shows by using the rewind feature in your radio.com app. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Maybe a sliver of good news that the NBA could come back somewhat soon. They'll vote on Thursday, but the plan is expected to be approved, and this is going to be now 22 teams to Orlando, more than likely, right, Fitzy, in the wide world of sports complex down right there, the Disney complex. 8 regular season games each. They'll have a play-in tournament for the eighth seed in each conference, and then to have a full playoff slate. We're thinking July, maybe late July.
Yeah.
So it's still some time away, but that's good news.
And that's a great facility, too. It's the perfect place. If you're going to do a single-city tournament-style 22-team I don't know, season in playoffs, it's a great spot.
NHL, we're still waiting on the next layer of their phased plan, but they got the format in check. MLB, nothing on Friday. I thought we would have a response, but so far nothing. They're going to have, we think, the Players Association a response to the economic plan, but as of now, nothing moving on that front. Governor Baker did in Boston give pro sports teams the okay to return to practice facilities on June the 6th. And per Alex Speer, the Red Sox had a company meeting and announced there would be no layoffs or furloughs, but there would be rolling salary cuts for those making more than $50,000 a year. Evan Drellick of The Athletic described a very tense reaction, angered reaction to that. But, hey, welcome to the rest of the world.
Yeah, welcome to the rest of us who've had to get a haircut. Well, we can't get a haircut if you know what I'm talking about. And by the way, tip of the cap to David Price and people like Shin-Soo Chu who have gone above and beyond and paid out the minor leaguers out of their own pocket.
Minor league baseball will never be the same. I mean, that was already going to get cut by a quarter of the teams anyway going into this.
Wouldn't be surprised if one of my favorites, I don't know if you've ever been, Cape Cod Baseball League, already done this year. Wouldn't be surprised if they're just Dunsky in general.
Ken, it fits you with you until 4. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
It's Ken and Fitzy on Sports Radio WEI, some various parts of the Grey Hill Morning Show. Fitzy's in 3 times a week. We're trying to get that down to 2 or 1 if possible, but for now that's the contractual.
Fingers crossed. 0 soon enough.
And I am your favorite producer of the program. I mean, by default, Curtis is the other option, so it's the best you got.
I was going to say, you, that's not a popularity contest you won right there, guy.
I think Curtis did beat me at a poll, though, actually. Did we do a poll?
Who would win if the two of you fought? Popularity contest? I'd be shocked if there was a single vote. No, it was who would win in a fight. And Curtis won 53-47. Why do people think... Because Curtis already beat alcoholism, so how could he not beat you?
He fights dirty, yep. But as I pointed out, I'm going for the
Winner. I know. Yeah. I'm familiar. Yep, see, look, there's a... You know what? We got a great, potentially a great moment in American history coming up today, Ken. At 3:22, the first ever privatized rocket carrying United States astronauts.
SpaceX, the Musk rocket.
Yes, the Musk rocket.
Oh, then everything's
SpaceX fine. And everything's NASA. This should be a great moment in American history, and instead, it's going to be an afterthought at most.
By the way, we are broadcasting live from the Shaw's and Star Market WEI studios. Back to the calls here on the overnight unrest across America in a moment. You mentioned to me Jaylen Brown had just tweeted about partaking in protests tonight.
Yes, Jaylen Brown Celtics. Just tweeted out moments ago from that weird handle of his that I'll never understand. It's like FCH.
FCH.
Do you know what that means?
No,
I can't crack that code either. I believe he said that at 5:30 tonight, he will be marching from the CNN Center to the MLK Memorial in Atlanta.
Wow.
Come join me. So there's people with a platform. There's people with a voice. There's a prominent African-American American athlete right there using his voice for good. And hopefully it's a peaceful protest. Yep, right there. 5:30 at CNN to MLK Memorial site. Come walk with me.
Tim at Attleboro up next here on Ken and Fitzy. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right.
I'd just like to say, you know, I don't want to see something come down that someone films something and then it turns into like Baltimore or back with Rodney King. But there's got to be something where, like, what's happening to the businesses of Minneapolis, right? The police office, the police station, they got burnt down. The Target store, they got burnt down. There has to be repercussions in one thing. I'll just say quick, I'll get this over within like one minute, I told Bridget. Probably about 10 years ago, I was snow blowing a couple people's house on January 2nd. I came home about 8 o'clock. On the way home, I seen my best man at my wedding at a local pizzeria. I went and had two beers. And then I got home, and my son, who was 4 at the time, he's 14 now, comes running out, "Dad, can we play video games?" I said, "Yeah." And my wife said to me, "No, he's going to bed. He's going to bed." So we went back and forth. And then I said, "Shut your fat head." And a stupid thing to say. But anyway, she says, 2 minutes later, I went downstairs. She says, "I called the police." At that time, my father had passed away 10 years earlier. And I had come across a gun that he had, which I thought was a pellet gun. Okay. It happened to be a .22. I was looking that up that week on eBay. You can't sell them on eBay, but anyway, a .22. So my wife called the police, and there was 4 inches of snow on the ground. I came out into my yard, and it was dark out, and I heard a voice say, "Get down on the ground, blank police." Okay? So I go, "What? What the F?" I said, "What?" And they said, "Get down on the ground, the police." Okay, so I turned, I laid down in 4 inches of snow. The police officer came over, put his knee in the middle of my shoulder blades for 20 minutes. Oof. Which I probably deserved. Okay, and another officer went into my home and he said, "Where is the gun?" Okay, there was no bullets for the gun. I'd never seen the gun fired. It was just something my father had got years ago when you didn't need an FID card. I didn't have an FID card. I shouldn't have ever. I thought it was a pellet gun, okay? So anyway, a police officer went in the house for 5 minutes, comes up, I can't find it. I said it's in the unfinished portion of my basement across from my washer and dryer up in the rafters. That's where I always kept it. Until I looked it up, that happened that week to see what it was. I found out it was a probably from the 40s to the 50s, Mossberg .22 rifle, okay? So another police officer goes in the house. They can't find it. So anyway, I had a police officer holding me down with his knee, my face in the snow for 4 inches of snow for 20 minutes, which I deserved. I didn't move. I didn't wiggle. I didn't fight. I didn't do anything, okay? So I don't know what my point is, but my point's like, That guy, what happened to that gentleman down there with that cop with his hand in his pocket? That cop should go to jail, be put in general population, and because he's a bad cop. He killed 3 people with his cruiser. He ran into 3 people. He also has 2 or 3 charges of beating up people that were probably was washed or whatever, but he has multiple things that he's done, that he's a bad police officer. you know, the police officers in my town are great guys. They wanted to find the gun. They got the gun, and I got everything straightened out within 2 years, $6,000 later. And I just wanted to say, it happens to people of all colors, white, black, everything. It's just that it's not publicized as much. I'm sure there's plenty of white people that have the same thing happen that get killed and it's not put down. But the sad part of it is the riots and just burning down their whole neighborhoods, the place they shop at, the places they go to, and I don't know what the answer is, but you know, I just wanted to throw that out to you guys, and I'm glad everything turned out for me, and I thought I'd call and let you know, and you guys have a good show.
All right, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. Jeez, Kat, if that call kept going,
that was
on,
like a Scott and Weymouth.
I was going to say people are going to start rioting if Tim's call didn't.
I mean, it's
no. I get what he's scenario. Trying to relate. Yes, very.
You see a knee in the back, not knee on the neck. Can't breathe for 9 minutes, which everybody saw. And I think further exasperating it is not just one bad cop. I don't know. We don't see the whole footage, but there were four cops there who did nothing. Right?
Four. Well, one. So it's like, one knew that. One started voicing concern. One knew that something was going wrong. The other two, he's just sort of stood there. You saw that he wanted to say something. You saw he wanted to do something. And the other two just basically held him down. God, have you looked at Chauvin's record, by the way?
Yeah, wasn't he investigated like 16 times or something?
How about this? Ready for this? 20 complaints and 2 letters of reprimand, and this guy is still on the force.
Yeah, that's
in a mixed urban area.
And I found out from listening to Mark and Hart that he worked at the same company that George Floyd did, maybe not together, but they worked. He was an off-duty cop at this security company where Floyd also worked at, so they may have known each other. There's some discussion about that. I don't know. But anyway, as far as the four of them there, and there were obviously some bystanders, I wondered myself, like, if you saw that happening in front of you, would you have the balls to take a run at the cop and get him off the guy's neck? Or what would you do if you were just on the sidewalk in that situation?
I can't believe anyone didn't say anything.
I would hope.
Some people yelled. Would you actually take a run at him, Ken?
It's impossible to say that. I mean, after all this, like this week, if it happened in front of me today, I would hope that, yes, I would, wouldn't want to stand there and watch some guy get murdered.
Yeah, I know. But at the same time, though, some of these poor cops, I mean, they're just out there trying to, you know, protect their pension, earn a living. They've got families. They need health insurance. They're just doing their job, trying to protect and serve. And now they've got people throwing Molotov cocktails and bricks at them. And
yeah, it's Ralph and Cranston up next. Hi, Ralphie.
Next, hi, Ralphie. Guys, you know, that previous call, I was like, what is this guy talking about? He made a good point. He really did make a good point. Now, I investigate criminal defense cases. I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff, and there is no doubt about it that police brutality goes on. You know, there are racial stops all over the place. I mean, I just wish most of these racial stops wouldn't find drugs in the trunk. A lot of times they do. But see, this is not something, this is terrible. This is, and you know, in Rhode Island and Massachusetts, they would have overcharged this guy. I don't know how that state goes, but because this is going to be a grand jury case, and they're going to determine the actual charge. Now, if they charge this guy with first degree, if it goes like Rhode Island Mass and a few other things, now he would have been held without bail. It probably would have quelled it a little bit. But this is not Michael Brown. I mean, that would have been a shame if that cop got off. I mean, if that cop didn't get off, because Michael Brown, I mean, look at what we saw with Michael Brown. He tried to take the gun out of the cop's holster. Hands up, don't shoot, did not exist. This is a situation where you're never going to end racial issues. I mean, on both sides, on every side. I mean, for one race to look at another race and say, oh, we're not prejudiced, you are, that's nonsense. But, you know, it's not going to do it. This is not going to accomplish anything. You're going to burn down some places, and this is going to go the same place Kaepernick went. I mean, you don't hear a Kaepernick because he was paid off. They're going to go to this family like they did Michael Brown, $6-7 million. They're going to go to this family and they're going to say, look, we can't deal with this. You know, you got to come out and tell everybody to stop it. Here's your money, and you're going to go away. And that's, I will bet dollars to donuts that that's where it's going to go, because that's what America does. We don't cure these problems. And I'm not so sure you can cure it anyway, because people are just so set in his ways. Like, you know, if this was a white guy, you probably wouldn't see it, you know, as much as you do. And if I can say one more thing, look at Bob Kraft. Now, and that cop should have been thrown off the force down there. He should have taken his pension away. He made up, he lied in an affidavit that this was human trafficking to get a camera inside. And as bad as that was, what Kraft was doing, he should have known better. I mean, I think he's losing it a little bit. But that cop should have been fired. Look what he did. He lied. That's not human trafficking. Those girls are all, they're B-1 visa girls. They're here. It happens, but it wasn't human trafficking. He lied to a judge, and he got that judge to allow that camera to cause irreparable harm to not only Kraft, to other people. But what you've got to do is hammer these cops like this. This guy should go to prison as long as he can, and maybe we'll get some justice out of it. But please, I'll end it with, I have so many friends. My best man was a detective. He's retired now. Don't say this is what all cops do. That was a bad cop, a terrible incident, and he should get hung.
All right, Ralph, thanks. I mean, no, I don't think anybody's saying all cops are bad. Nobody thinks that, but...
Well, you could watch television right now and think that America thinks that this is all police's fault and that blue lives don't matter. The way a certain sector, I should say, rather. And it's awful. I mean, you could probably have cops in your family, right?
I don't, actually, but which is amazing. You know, I feel like I've known cops through the years, but none of them are in my
friends
family.
And relatives on the force in Braintree, Canton... all over the South Shore, yeah.
So and how are they reacting to this? I mean,
they're amazing. First of all, they're incredible people. A lot of them are former military, usually like Marines or Army National Guard Reserve who come in and then they take the gig and just pillars of society. I mean, yeah, they feel that. Well, first, they're embarrassed. They're ashamed and embarrassed for what this guy did and how poorly it represents them. But they want people to know, please, we're not all like this. And we treat all people the same. Doesn't matter your color. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter your checking account. But you can't yell that through a helmet during social distancing. You can't yell that past a shield. You can't yell that with a baton in your hand. You can't yell that through a tear gas can.
Speaking of Kaepernick, he brought him up again. Bridget found the statement from the week. It wasn't really even from Kaepernick himself. He and his organization, the Know Your Rights campaign, announced a partnership. A Twitter post from the group said the fund is seeking to help support freedom fighters on the ground and that their work is in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in Minneapolis. So he continues to remain pretty quiet behind the scenes.
This is the perfect time. Forget about playing football. If what he's done for the last several years, and he obviously has enacted a lot of conversation, many a protest and some societal change, but if he feels like his platform is worth something right now, now's the time to step up. Now's the time to stand up and say something. Now is the time to try to... He can't possibly want to incite further violence. He can't possibly be proud of what he's seeing.
And if anything, his peaceful protests are more relevant than ever now. Yeah. I mean, this would be, the perfect time for him to say, hey, I was right. Look at me. This is the way we handled it. We changed things. We brought attention to it. We're not rioting, looting. But
now's the perfect time, Ken, for a guy like Colin Kaepernick to fly to a Minneapolis, you know, or St. Paul, you fly to Minneapolis, whatever. Now's the time to go and, like, go take a knee in front of the State House. Go take a knee in front of the State House.
Or side with the Vikings, if you believe that CNN article.
By the way, a regular listener to the station and friend of show, mailman on the Cape, Dice Coda, hit me up on Twitter. I have good friends that live, my cousin lives just outside Minneapolis. I messaged him to ask him how it was out there. Quote, everything's on fire.
Even in the suburbs, I imagine. It's gone to like small sections around Minneapolis, St. Paul, where people are just
such a great city, too.
Flooding in from all kinds of organizations. John and Gardner here before you take a break. Hi, John.
Hi, fellas. How you doing?
How are you, John?
You know, I said I wasn't going to call. I called the other show this morning and I got my say in, but I think a lot of folks, including myself, probably don't identify or understand the black experience in this country enough. I kind of disagree with your premise. I don't know that we needed to be in this damn virus, you know, situation or whatever else has been going on in society. How many times over the years have black people seen this type of thing happen, and whether there's protest or riots or both or nothing, it keeps going on.
Yep.
What is going on when a police officer, and I work for a law enforcement agency, I'm not castigating all police, believe me, but forget the exact incident. What the hell is in a person's mind that thinks that he's somehow okay to do that in public? And I think that says a lot about where some people are, that it's like he's not even a person or something.
Right.
that he's an ant that can be crushed or something. And look back, you know, somebody asked about Europe, and I know slavery isn't unique to the United States. It happened in Africa. It happened over, you know, it's been around. But I don't know that any country has a history of bringing people 3,000 miles against their will, and then all the stuff that's we're 250 years beyond emancipation, right?
Yep.
And look over time how many things Mark was using as a reference to the Rodney King thing. I'm a youthful, 65 years old. You know what took place in my year of birth? Emmett Till was hung and lynched, yeah. And Rosa Parks refused to sit down on the bus in the back of the bus. So how long have these issues been going on? And there's nothing good really is going to come from the violence and the looting.
I mean, John, we've made some progress from Emmett Till. God, I hope so. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've made some progress since Rodney King. But
do you think it's overkill that people are calling this a lynching? I don't.
No, it was a murder in broad daylight is what we saw.
Black man.
There's no other way to spin it. And any other way to spin it means that you have a hidden agenda that you are more than comfortable revealing and. You're okay with me judging you for it. I described it earlier, John, as an execution.
Right. But
your original statement, John, that we don't identify enough with the black experience, I think is the way you described it.
Yep.
I think that is the major point people seem to be trying to drive home. You know, white people quit staying silent and say something. And I feel that. I understand it. And I don't know what to say, but... you know, we're trying to dedicate 3 hours to allowing people to say, but you're saying you don't think much will change. I mean,
I hope I think this might be, although how many times have we said things like this before? This might be a turning point. Why? Nobody's defending this officer's actions, right?
Right.
Nobody. So that's different this time. In some of the past incidents, I'm not going to get into who's who in the media or whatever, but some media has stuck up for the cops, no matter what.
Yeah,
you know,
that's indefensible.
Tamir Rice, like they're in the Starsky and Hutch, and start shooting before they even get out of the car. Eric Garner. I mean, we could go on, and yet it still happens. So if I'm a black person, I see in this country, you know, no matter what happens, it still goes on. The last thing I know, you're gonna go. You know what I think is the worst thing of the rioting and looting? It's going to enable a lot of white folks to look past some of the what I just described and what. Black folks' experiences, they're going to be able to look past that and focus on the looting and violence and say, see, you know, and they're not even going to look at the underlying issues. So that's the unfortunate, along with all the other unfortunate parts of this. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, John.
Thanks,
John. You're right about that. It will allow for scapegoating.
Yep. Oh, 1,000%. I mean, this is the last thing. Believe me, this is the last thing any of us want to do in general, let alone here today.
Yeah.
I mean, generally, when it comes to like confrontation and like racial issues and societal will, I'm not the voice that you would normally come to. Obviously, you aren't either. But like, I'll just speak for myself. Like, I'm on skates here. Like, I'm on skates in the outfield.
Yep.
I don't know what to say. Who am I to say anything? I'm far from privileged. But when you look at my life compared to somebody who's had nothing and had to get by and been judged and lived in fear of arrest and obviously. You know, being considered a criminal just for the color of their skin. Hell, man. Like, yeah, this is a life of privilege we lead, Ken. But it's a lot easier to sit around and bitch about Blake Snell than it is to discuss things going on in Atlanta and Minneapolis. Yeah. But, poof.
Well, and you had an incredibly dumb hot take this week, which we still have not addressed
yet. Great pivot. I'm here for that. Thank you.
But keep these calls going. I also see Bradfoe hovering around the studio. Do you want to have Rob on? He's a friend of the show. Curtis will yell at me if I do have him on.
Too bad.
He doesn't run the station, right?
No, he doesn't run the station.
Bradfoe also invited me to a cookout at his place.
He did.
Sit around the camp. What do you call that?
The fire pit?
Yeah, fire pit. That's what I'm looking for.
Bradfoe, you're a fire pit guy?
Bradfoe fire pit guy has invited me graciously over to socially distance at 6 feet. Well, maybe we'll have Bradfoe on as well. But we'll continue your calls. I'd love your reaction to this. Obviously, the unrest across America. 617-779-7937. It's Ken and Fitzy.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Ken Fitzy on Sports Radio WEEI here until 4 p.m.
You can always count on Bridget to play good tunes coming in and out of the rejoins.
This and is, from Lysol, by the way.
Yes.
She's got like, she is stacked. Somehow she... in January. She must have just cleaned everybody out of Lysol wipes. She has a new box a week. But anyway, who's this?
She got a, that's Big Data, actually a local guy. Bridget is good for music on the rejoins. Bridget, obviously, excellent producer. Her craft beer knowledge is peerless. And, of course, the Lysol wipes as well. You know, she has a, did you know Bridget has a, I want to give her a shout out on the show. She has a craft beer Instagram follow.
Wow.
Yeah, account, actually. She and, is that your cousin you go with? So you can speak. We give you permission, please, by all means.
Yes, my cousin Brielle.
Yes, so it's Bridget and Brielle. They go around and they do all these, like, look at us fancy lovely girls drinking all these craft beers. It's, what do you call it? Go ahead, pimp it out, Bridget.
It's Two Breeze, Two Brews.
Two Breeze, Two Brews.
And you're off the IPA, which is a stunning admission by you during the break.
I have officially switched to cervezas for the summer.
See? So the white privilege continues for Fitzy. All the choices in a week of unrest across America.
Just like, no wonder why people are rioting. We can't get our Trilliveries. We can't get the good DDH Fort Point, so we've switched to the beer of the common man.
In 5 minutes, Bradfield will join us. We'll get the latest on baseball owners versus players, which was a bit of a topic this week, although it's so frustrating on both sides. That's another one of those you don't even want to vote on who's, you know, which side are you on, players or the owners.
Interesting discussion yesterday, though. Like, I heard Marloni and Fourier yesterday as I was driving to the beach, and they had a good, like, they said that it feels like things have pivoted now to where the general public is mad at the owners. Like, over the week there was a phase shift where people decided to stop being as mad at the players, that they started to understand that they shouldn't have. It actually, in a lot of ways, can it kind of mirrors some of the frustrations in this country. Like,
well, it's, you know what it strikes me as? It's like, how tone deaf is baseball? This is going on right now everywhere, and they can't get it together to get on the field. I mean, even if it would not provide a distraction or one iota of a...
Yeah, or if the Red Sox would just sign Colin Kaepernick, then maybe we can figure this out.
Let's go to Jake in Boston. Hi, Jake.
Oh, boy.
Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Let me start with Jaylen Brown, who wants to protest tonight. Does Nicole Yang over at theboston.com, who covers every little off-court thing Jaylen does she want to grab her cell phone and ask Jaylen what he thinks of what's going on in Hong Kong right now? You know, where his Chinese masters and all the NBA players who, you know, will placate the CCP, you know, they're about to come in there and run train on Hong Kong, like Tiananmen Square style. So am I going to get that article from Nicole Yang? And then Yang over the summer had this glowing profile of Jaylen on Boston.com in which he mentioned befriending former Egyptian President Mubarak, his grandson. You know, that's the same Mubarak who was jailed for life for his involvement in killing political protesters. So Jaylen Brown takes one class with Harry Edwards at Berkeley and majors in hypocrisy for not one, but two evil dictatorships who do the same thing he's trying to speak out against. The NBA players should be the last person I want to hear on issues in this country. They had their chance in October to speak out and actually make a difference, which they would have had they started to speak out against what was going on in Beijing, and they kept their mouth shut. Now, as for Boston, I'm actually rooting for chaos because you've got this moronic mayor who just canceled the marathon, a pandering governor, and the BPD still has Victoria Snellgrove's blood on their hands. And you know what? There was a lawsuit, but there weren't any charges there. And I went to Emerson, so of course I'm still mad about that. That was just Karen getting hers because she was drinking while watching a sporting event, right? That was a Karen, so no one cares. And if you remember what happened in 04 after the Red Sox won the World Series, you had these protesters go out to Fenway Park, and they knew the BPD couldn't do anything because the Snellgrove thing had just happened. So you've got these boiling escalations that happened then, and they're happening here today. And, you know, if there are protests now and Baker and Walsh are sitting there with their hands tied because they placated to these groups for years and years and years, and they don't want another Snellgrove, and, oh, I don't know, wave two of coronavirus happens as a result, I don't know, that's a win to me, you know, as far as my bitterness. You know, I'm in the North End. They've screwed our people over for the last 2 months, not letting our restaurants open and looking at number. I mean, we had the biggest outbreak, you know, two minutes away from where I live at the hotel. And 50, as you said, the two biggest communities of impact were high density residential communities and minority areas. Mm-hmm. So there was not a lot of translation between what happened over on the waterfront and what's actually happened with coronavirus in Massachusetts. And that's before even mentioning the nursing homes. So you have these protests and you have this virus going on at the same time. And they had no problem shutting down Frank Mendoza over at Monica's. But Do I hear Baker and Walsh addressing what might happen tonight or tomorrow night when Black Lives Matter head out in Boston and start to protest the killings last week? I haven't heard a single peep. So they're willing to put a phase of a wave two of coronavirus on the line specifically for this purpose and for this placation. And it's really, it just irks my mind. And lastly, Taylor Swift, keep your mouth shut. Your last album, Blue. I don't know if you're dumb or desperate at this point, but you know, I know you're still bitter about that $150 million you can't rake in on tour this year. Stay in your lane. No one wants to hear from you.
Well, we went from Hong Kong to Egypt and back to the North End. That was quite a tour de force.
And then finishing with the classic punctuation of crapping on Taylor Swift. Jake from Boston. I got to say, Dwayne, I appreciate you calling in. Just hang on one second. And that's really a tough act to follow. They always say on stage, Dwayne, who's calling now from Providence, you never want to follow pets or kids. But, you know, you can't sound like anything but sunshine whenever you follow Jake from Boston on the show. So please, by all means, the floor is yours, sir. Dwayne.
Hello, Mike. Hey. Yes, I'm here.
All right. What's Hello? Up, buddy?
You're on. Hello? Yep, we got you.
Okay, my only concern is that system has never been set for anybody other than European white people. And we have a president who continues to stoke these flames of hatred. And it is almost impossible for any immigrant. My parents were immigrants from the Caribbean. And to see that, you know, I feel for any white person who has compassion, who understands that this is wrong. But at the same time, I also feel any white person should be black or be a person of color for a part of their life so they would understand and have to feel and live through what we live through. We have to raise our children to be cautious, to be afraid, and to be better than. And when your children are biracial and they start asking you questions about why are we being treated this way, and you can say, all you can say is the system's been like this for over 400 years. The system is broken, and it has been broken.
Dwayne, thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call.
I don't disagree with part of what he said. Like, we've never had to walk a mile in their shoes. No. We've never had to.
Wiggy was on Friday on the Greg Hill Show. I thought he spoke powerfully to what his two young kids have to go through. Mm-hmm. They're teenagers now, but he worries about them every time they go out. I thought that was, you know, it's something I'm not going to have to deal with, and I feel for him.
Those poor kids. The only thing they should have to worry about is their dad's terrible radio takes.
Speaking of terrible radio takes, you want Bradford to come on?
Oh gosh,
60
yeah,
seconds. Rob Bradford. That's not that's not a nice.
Oh come on, it's coming from Ken Laird. What should he expect?
But we're making progress. Bradford is at the. Is this progress or are we setback? First trip to the radio station since coronavirus broke out. Bradford is in the building.
Wow.
And we'll tell you about how this will shake out between baseball owners and players in 60 seconds. Coming up.